Welcome to National MI's Educational Sales Podcast Series, hosted by mortgage sales consultants Pat Sherlock and Bobby Welch. This podcast is brought to you by National MI University. We are committed to delivering quality education. Now let's get started.
Hi, everyone. This is Pat Sherlock, and I have Bobby Welch.
Pat, hello again.
Yes, and this is another terrific topic, especially in this more difficult environment that many mortgage bankers are experiencing. And that's the topic of untapped selling opportunities and what that all means is part of an important strategy that originators need to have. I think so many originators, just from what I see from doing training and coaching and consulting, they're just really fundamentally, you know, me too originators. They really don't bring anything to the plate that any other originator has out there. And so the me too opportunity is not a very good strategy today. You really need to be able to drive demand and be proactive. And I think that's really how I see untapped selling opportunities. Bobby, any thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think that when originators first start thinking about untapped selling opportunities, especially around defining themselves as a niche, they get a little fearful. I mean, that's maybe where we should start out. Like they worry that maybe by narrowing their field, somehow they'll fund less because, you know, there's all these other loans that they'll walk by. I mean, what do you tell somebody when that comes up?
Well, I would certainly posture. I certainly recognize what you're saying is that many people, I think, make the wrong assumption that niching is all about lessening your business when it's actually the reverse. And I would posture with individuals that have those concerns as you look at your top originators. I mean, I keep constantly bringing it back to that because I do think that sets a role model. Top originators, and I have interviewed them over many years from just the part of where I wrote a book about them, and it's this issue of they're always looking for something that's an unserved market opportunity. And you might label that as a niche, but it really is an opportunity unique to their marketplace that they have figured out that other originators are not serving. So I think the fear is misplaced. I think it's really all about recognizing that your top originators are proactively driving demand. And ultimately, that's what untapped selling opportunities present for them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that part of it is that they don't really look at the idea of niching as an untapped opportunity broad enough. And I think there's a couple areas that you can niche in. Maybe we could throw them on the table and then circle back around and talk a little bit more about each one. I think the product niche is maybe the one we should discuss last because it's the one people think of first.
Right.
And that's sometimes what scares them, even though this is a massive opportunity and there's people doing it really, really well in it. But, you know, there's also community niches, you know, groups of people that you want to serve. There are added value niches, you know, how you want to be known for the value you provide to your referral partners, being unique in that area and nichifying it. And there's also your referral source niches. You know, you don't have to get all your business from a real estate agent. So when we say niche, we're not saying you can only do necessarily one product, although that is one effective way to niche.
Right, right. Well, you've hit on a lot of good points about what is an untapped selling opportunity. And I do think the part that I would suggest for originators is that they really look, as you have just said, at their particular community and look at what isn't being really addressed. And ultimately, as simple as that, is what is an untapped selling opportunity. It's what isn't being served. Now, the community side of it is a great one. And I think there's lots of ways you can do that. And I see it from the standpoint of realtors, you know, putting together really, you know, masterminds within a community of those individuals that really are serious about their business and want to go to the next level. I think that putting that community together, it's almost like a book club, but it's better than a book club from the standpoint that you are tapping into social media, you could form a group on this whole issue of social media. Realtors are interested in it. And when you look at the average age of the realtor, in addition to the loan officer, they're pretty similar and they both have the same challenges. But I got to tell you, realtors have definitely moved further along in social media. But that's a topic that could be of interest for any community within any state in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I see really fun things around the community niche idea. And again, I think there's the obvious stuff that we've been focused on for a long time, you know, such as Latinos or other minorities.
Sure.
Great niches. I've seen some really fun things around like specific neighborhoods, because inside a city, every neighborhood has a unique feel to it. You know, a loan officer I respect a lot in Salt Lake City, she runs a website. Her name's Chris Duffield, and she runs a website called Draper City Living, and it's all about living in Draper City.
Right.
And, you know, interviews with the high school coach and all these fun things that her and her realtors participate in, building a community, feeding that niche and that feeling of community and getting business off of it. And then I saw a lady with a great niche of serving single women homebuyers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're single, they're women professionals, they want to buy a home. So again, in the community niche, that one's pretty fun, and you can go out there and it's about a community you want to belong to that energizes you and that you have fun with, and just figure out a way to serve them and figure out a way to have them come together.
Well, I agree with you. And I think, you know, again, I think our original comment was that if you don't do this, if you don't tap into what is an opportunity within your marketplace, you just become another Me Too originator with the same products as everybody else, the same, you know, service levels, practically speaking. Obviously, some are faster than others, but you are in this realm of the other 200,000 originators. If you're not looking at what is it that you can bring to the plate that would be important to your group? And that's really defined individually. I mean, I think that's, you know, as basic as a self-employed person myself, one of the first questions I always ask people that I know is, who do you think is the smartest person in so-and-so's, you know, industry? In other words, I want to know those contacts. So there's lots of ways to form a community. And it's really, the good part about it is it's left up to the originator being creative and figuring out what is not being done within your particular marketplace. So I just would say, as we move into a marketplace, it's much more difficult than in the past where the customer was really generating the demand. Now we're asking our originators to be proactive in generating the demand. And I think a lot of times that's where the difficulty lies, where the originator hasn't had to even think about that or their business model or what they're seeing as the opportunity. But again, I would reemphasize that your above average originators do go through that process. And similar to the examples that you've already talked about, they think about things like a marketplace where, you know, you're giving the history of the city and you're talking about the latest things. And again, I could see where that's very smart on her part.
Yeah, it's fun. Let's talk a little bit about the added value niche. In other words, you know, maybe you're going to call on real estate agents like everyone else, but your unique talking point, what differentiates yourself, is how you add value versus other loan officers, because that one's a wide open field again. I mean, that one's
right.
And all you have to get used to is, you know, the idea that whatever value you decide to add is likely to attract a certain type of agent. So you've got to be mindful of that. But there's, you know, agents want and need all kinds of support.
Well, I think you're right on. And I think what I would suggest, and this is to me what is fun about selling, but it is this issue of, I think your added value always has to be education-based and insight-based. And as an originator, what your job's to do is to bring new ideas to your referral sources so they can do more business. And I think sometimes originators don't look at it that way, and they look at the roles are reversed. But I have to say that your better originators recognize that their job is to help their referral partners do more business, and then they will get business. I mean, that it's just a really a sequence that you have to be giving more of value in order to get more back, is what you really are saying.
Yeah, absolutely. People always want to stop the business building idea. You know, I'll bring you loans. I'll help you get additional listings. That's mm-hmm. huge. But you can also get pretty creative here too, because,
right.
you know, I know somebody who in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that is just a really great teacher, and he's gone and produced a lot of CE content, you know, been able to get it approved with the state. And, you know, he's a great resource if you want some inexpensive CE training. And he's also very flexible about where he holds it and when. And so he's kind of like the CE guy. And the local brokers know to bring him in to host things in order right. to provide that value. And that opens a lot of doors for him. I've also seen, you know, I know somebody who is really big into impacting the community in very positive ways out in California. And they do a quarterly drive to benefit a local charity. So, you know, blankets for the homeless and food right. bank. And I mean, he's all kinds of fun stuff they've done. And the agent, and he's known for that. And the agents who care about that type of thing and who enjoy participating in a way that gives back to the community, he attracts them like flies. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, sometimes when there's fewer people, you know, talking about a certain, because, you know, so you can support their business, but you can support them as a person too. People like to belong to great groups of people.
Right. No, I think you're right on. And that's certainly part of what I see with above average originators, is that I'm not saying that they only do business with their friends, but their referral partners become their friends because they have mutual interests. And when you think about that in any role as a salesperson, ultimately your better salespeople are able to really bridge that gap. And I think you hit the nail on the head, is that that's what's creative about selling. Otherwise, if you're just going to have the same litany of things that everybody else has, you're not really, you know, bringing a lot to the plate. In addition to, I think that for the individual who operates that way, I just think the business becomes really, you know, not fun. It becomes yep. more of a torture. And I definitely see originators have done well because of refinancing, but certainly are having more difficult times. And so, you know, it's not fun for them to come up with these ideas. And I think that that's really the best part about selling, that you're only limited by your own mindset.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really about what you want to be known for, right?
Sure.
And I mean, this is what we're talking about.
Right. Right. Well, I think it's probably a good time maybe to talk about some product stuff. I mean, there, you know, that seems obviously that's a pretty common differentiator, but certainly yeah. on the product side.
I think both product and referral sources are probably two good ways to end it, and the products.
Right. I
mean, everybody knows about condos and VA and FHA and first-time home buyers.
Right.
Doctor's loans, but there's some unique stuff out there. What's that program you were telling me about before the call? That one, I mean, that one's unique.
I thought this was an interesting product, and from the standpoint that I haven't seen many originators talking about it, but Fannie Mae, back in March of last year, came out with an announcement that they have really made a bigger effort in energy efficiency, and the program is Home Style Energy Mortgages. And the great thing about this new effort by Fannie Mae is that it applies to whether you are a cash, you know, refi out, or your refi, or a purchase money, where they're allowing the borrower to add up to 15% of improvements to the appraisal of that property. So if you want to put solar panels on your house, or if you want to do some other things from an energy efficiency standpoint, here's a product that will finance it in the mortgage. In the past, you had to get different state grants, and it was really torturous if you want to try to have energy efficiencies to your home. But now with Fannie's kind of entering into this market and then allowing you to, they even allow you to move the debt ratios up. So I think it's a very neat product. And the only requirement, again, is that they're asking is that you get what's called a home energy rating systems report, which is what they call a HERS report. And all that report is saying is that, you know, what efficiencies this would be bringing to the home. if you aren't getting that official report, they also have that you can get an energy audit, and they take that as verifying that there's energy improvements to the mortgage. So, and I don't know about you, Bobby, but I've had my house having an energy efficiency audit, and I think a lot of people have had that done. So asking for that report is not that unusual, because many of the heating and air conditioning companies will do that for you. And actually, they do it for free. So I think it's a nice product, and I think it's a perfect example of a niche product that would help originators do more business and also give you something to talk about that isn't the same old conventional or FHA type of approach. So I think it's a great product, and I would really suggest for people listening to the call that they check this out. And again, this was something that Fannie Mae issued in March of last year.
I mean, gosh, that my head's just worrying with the marketing opportunities, because you can use it, I'm pretty sure you said both purchase and refi, right?
Yes, they're saying that you can finance it at what they're calling energy efficiency upgrades, whether it's purchasing or refinancing. And so it's a great, you know, a great effort. And I think that from the energy world, in the past, you had to get special grants driven by the states. But with Fannie kind of entering that marketplace, it really makes it a real good tool, I think, for originators as something to talk about with their realtors and with the customers. But they are allowing up to 15% as completed appraised value. And actually, part of that is, if I recognize it, is that really all they're requiring is for you to have a report, an energy report. They will even add things along the lines of if you're going to upgrade your water heater and so forth. So it's really, I think, a perfect example of an untapped selling opportunity that allows people to make themselves look different as an originator calling on realtors and having something exciting to talk about.
That's a perfect topic, especially right now. It's so timely. Everyone's talking about solar power. Everyone's talking about, you know, what we all need to be doing in that area. So the realtors would eat it up, but contractors too. I mean, there's tons of people in that space that would freely co-market and market with you just because they're seeing people every day that might need that as a financing option.
Right.
So yeah, good program. Maybe throw out a couple more examples in the referral source niche area, just for the folks, you know, to help them get those brain juices going. And because we're certainly not limited to the areas that we've talked about, but I mean, these are some common ones that are pretty easy to get something going with. So things like mid-size employers and large employers and financial planners. I mean, what do you see in that area?
Well, it's funny that you say that. And I know we only have a few minutes left, but I saw really a great niche that I think is a terrific opportunity. This originator is going to mid-size companies and offering really what would be equivalent to relocation lending to the employer as a way to keep their staff. As an example, let's say you had a small employer that had maybe 200 employees, and let's say they are engineers. Well, in order to retain the engineers, what this particular person's doing, originator's doing, is he's offering as a retention service to that company a mortgage product. So many of the engineers that come out of schools obviously don't have a home at that point, and this is a way to make that particular employer look different. So I think there's an unlimited different opportunities that you can kind of source into. And I thought that was a clever way for sure.
That's awesome. Well, the sky's the limit. I mean, we could talk about this even further, but maybe let's do a couple last minute takeaways for, you know, how somebody would actually decide their own niche.
Well, I think the first step that I would suggest everyone is to really to look at your particular marketplaces. And that obviously makes the key point that you understand what it is your competitors are doing, so you can understand where they are failing. And that's failing from the standpoint of whether they're not reaching out in the ways that we've already talked about, or are they failing not just from service levels, which I think are pretty typical of how people look at it. So again, the first step, I think, is to understand completely your marketplace and what are those opportunities that represent growth. And what I see with better originators is they definitely are looking for the growth opportunity. So if that means that your township has changed their, you know, how they are handling environmental issues, that would tie back to what I just talked about with this home style energy program. So you have to look at objectively your marketplace to determine what is an opportunity that would be a growth period that you could play that other people are not.
Yep, that's great. Yeah, you know, I guess my closing comments would be to really look at what you want to be known for. Mm-hmm. And I would challenge you to break away from the herd, because when a large number of people are all talking about the same thing, it's hard to get the type of differentiation that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I'm a big believer, you've got to add value to your real estate agents. And part of that is helping them build their business. But man, that talking point has been driven to the ground the last mm-hmm. 10 or 15 years by mm-hmm. every sales trainer. So they get a lot of calls about them and help you build your business. So if you're going to compete in that niche, you've got to figure out a unique way to talk about it at least, and break away from the herd. And, you know, then the last one is, and then how do you want to serve? Like, you know, what kind of value do you want to add back, and how do you want to be spending your time doing that? And come up with something unique and come up with something that you personally can get some enjoyment out of, so that you've got some staying power with it. And right. then, mm-hmm. you know, then your business will boom because of it.
Right, right. And I do think the one last comment that I would make is that this is an activity where you would want to look at it either every 6 months or every 12 months, because certainly the opportunities do shift, and certainly things that become hot are things that you obviously want to attach yourself to. So it isn't a process that you do once every 10 years. It's a process where you have to do it a lot more frequently, for sure.
Awesome. Very great. Good topic, Pat.
Yeah, this is a really important one, especially as competition is definitely rearing its ugly head. And those that have made this effort to tap into, you know, these opportunities that others are not, are the ones that basically, the ones that would win. So again, want to thank everybody for listening today, and certainly want to wish you to have a great sales week, and listen to our next episode.
Absolutely. Until next time.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you have a topic to suggest, please tell your National MI account manager, and you may soon see it as part of our sales podcast series.